Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read
me. My name, King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. My quote was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Government attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still trying.
Bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I'm open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he's sweater tell a whole truth. Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty Living God. But don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, vultures the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the comings, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and love and material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12, he spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster, come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed to.
Yo, bro, it's 66 books and good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensei. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth a
penny. And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tool for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I hold the key to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
Original holy scrolls comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Excellent. Good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Swerve Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Rashad. I'm the teacher here with ISHBK. Welcome each and every one of y'all to another one of our shows. I'm one of the teachers here with, again, as we said, ISHBK, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. And this morning, as my many road travels have brought me, I happen to be in the great city of Albuquerque, New Mexico, the land of entrapment. I'm here with brothers, officers Gabar Kawa, Officer Ahmad, what is it?
Officer Ahmad.
Your name, your full name, Ahmad. Officer Banama Gadol, and Officer Yeshaya. All right, we'd like to welcome you all again here from Albuquerque. We produce this blog talk radio show, blog talk internet radio show, every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, from the hours of 8:30 in the morning till about 11. I don't want to accuse of copyright infringement, but like, we want to be your breakfast club. All right, I want you to wake up to your breakfast bite, your daily bread. They say the first meal of the morning, the first meal of the morning is the most important meal of the morning, which is breakfast. So we want to be the, we want to be your meal in the morning. All right, we want to help you get some of that bread where Christ said, I am that living bread. All right, so we produce this show again every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from the hours 8:30 in the morning to 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time or here in Albuquerque, New Mexico time. And as it goes across the country to the different markets, the time adjusts to our live show put on every morning. All right, we also have classes here in Albuquerque every Saturday from 10 a.m. to about 2 p.m. at the Downtown Public Library in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which happens to be located at 501 Copper. All right, that's the between Central and Copper on 5th Street. All right, between Central and Copper on 5th Street every Saturday at the Downtown Public Library, main public library here in Albuquerque. And we want everybody to come to see us there. Sit here. Okay. Everybody needs to be closer. Again, that's every Saturday in the Downtown Public Library. I know I'm repeating myself again. And we invite you to come check us out. All right? Come break bread with us here in Albuquerque. As we're fighting and striving, as we just passed our year anniversary being in Albuquerque, we want to put together a school. All right? But we need supporters. We need people. We need help. We want to get an office building. All right, where we can go ahead now, do our thing, where we can get together now and not just go over classes, but we can get to our prayers. We can get to our culture. We can have brothers, sisters, as well as sisters and mothers and children, where we can actually come and congregate together and as we're putting together a nation. We're not just putting together another He-Man club or what have you. We're actually putting together a nation. And we can facilitate that a lot better if we can get an office space more centrally located in Albuquerque. Right now, we're up in we're on the border of Rio Rancho, all right? And for the Albuquerque area, that's quite a trip, right? That can be quite some distance living in Albuquerque. But you know, if you're coming from Atlanta, like what we just did, this ain't but a hop, skip, and a jump. You feel like you can skip a rock across the Rio Grande and still get here. But you know, we not to put our beloved city down. But we want to get a office building more centrally located in Albuquerque. We need help. We can help keep bringing people together. Right? Not on the grand scale of what human knowledge was, not to compete with the Brother Harag, with the Fountain of Faith, but just somewhere we can actually just start coming together again. All right, and that's the purpose of us being here. That we've been in the mall we've been in Conwood Mall and Cornell Center Mall. We've been in the mall's established. That's done. That's up and running. And we want to increase though. All right, we want to increase. That we didn't come here just to make money. We came here to gather Israelites and gather Israelite families and gather our nation so that we all can finally go to our home, which is the land of Israel. And we can all as we gather ourselves together and come together. That Yahweh Shai, Christ, can actually now come with the new Jerusalem, all right? And that we can all dwell there. And that, as it tells you in Revelations, that city that he's bringing, that is 1,500 feet tall, 1,500 feet wide, and 1,500 feet long, all right? That we need him to bring that place, that place where, unlike the Wiz, where they're trying to make a mockery of it, the streets literally are made of gold. And it tells you the east gate or door going into the city is a different gem. I can't wait to see. You got a door that's a gem. How big is these rubies or these emeralds or these sapphires or these onyxes or
the amethyst
or diamonds? That's the gate. Yeah, you know, everybody walks around like they got a quarter carat in their ear, like they're doing something. Nigga, my door is a diamond. How much bling is that? The walls are emerald.
You walking up, you know how you can see up into the horizon?
Right.
You see the gates way back there.
Exactly.
And you see the door, and you're like, man, hold up, that's sparkling. What is
right,
that?
Right. You see the prism coming through. who's that? The Pink Floyd. When they get the prism come through the track, forget wow. That. I got the rainbow. Every time you come knock on my door, you have to walk through the rainbow. All right, you're talking about some bling. We're talking about some real bling. All right, that the sunlight is coming through the gem. All right, not gems, the gym of my door, and it's very VIP. If you ain't got the right pass, right goal, right knock, right spirit, you can't get in. All right, it's not gonna happen. We want to get to that place. All right, we want to get to that place. They have a common set, though. We need to gather Israel together. We need to gather our nation together. So in Albuquerque, again, we have the Blog Talk Morning Show that we put on every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That hopefully you're listening in on right now. And on Saturdays, again, we're at Downtown Public Library, Main Public Library in Albuquerque at 501 Copper. Come break bread with us, all right, because we want to gather ourselves together so we can all get out of here. All right, we're not making the sacrifices that we're making so we can stay here. We want to gather our people together, our nation together, and start doing the righteousness of the Most High. Start doing right by the Most High so he can come and get us out of here so we can go home. All right. We also have a school located in San Antonio, Texas, the Sword of Truth, which has been established and been there since, 93.
Yeah. 93
is when we first opened, we first got down to San Antonio, Texas. And they was, got the name Sword of Truth. We've been there since 93, and we have a school located at 4219 Centergate Drive. All right, 4219 Centergate Drive. They're on the east side. All right, the cross streets is Parabital and 410. If you know where the Chachos is, excuse me, on Parabital, we are one block north of Chachos on the right hand side. If you are
right between La Tapatia and the Family Dollar.
Right. They got a new construction going up, and they put a health clinic there between now that you know that field.
Yeah.
They're putting a health. They're building a building there, but La Tapatia. If you take that right, La Tapatia coming from 410. We're diagonal across the street at the Truth. All right. Come see us there. There's classes out every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from the hours of 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Please come check us out. And then Saturdays also, they have a Sabbath class from 10 to 12 there in San Antonio. As you know, we're also at Inger Park Mall and Rolling Oaks Mall. You can come see the brothers there. All right. Then we have a school in Houston, Texas, which is at 8524 South Braidwood Boulevard. That's 8524 South Braidwood Boulevard. And the brothers have classes there Monday through Friday from 7 to 10, Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then Sundays they have a children's class that is broadcast on YouTube, the YouTube channel ISBHPK Kids. That's ISBHPK Kids from the hours of 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's only an hour, and that's Central Standard Time. Houston, Texas time, that you can tune in and check them out and what they have going on, as well as the live classes that they put on YouTube from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. All right, you can check them out, and we invite you to. If you'd like to leave a donation or any type of financial support, tithes or priest funds, what have you, or would like to help with this ministry or the TV show ministry, what we have going on, we invite you to go to ISBHPK.com. There's a PayPal account set up. You can leave donations there. Or if you happen to be in any one of our cities right now, if you're in Albuquerque, please come to Cornell Center Mall. And between the Boba Tea Factory and H&M Clothing Store, we have a kiosk set up. The name of the kiosk is Eastern Treasures. And that's for tax purpose copyright, because there have been businesses established in Albuquerque called Eastern Oils. So we can't really, infringe upon that. So right now we call ourselves Egyptian Treasures, right? Because what was the treasure of Egypt? The treasure of ancient Egypt, who built the pyramids? Who built ancient Egypt with the technology? Who brought arithmetic and geometry and astrology to the Egyptians? The treasure of Egypt was us, was the Israelites. As we're in this modern day Egypt, America, what's the treasure of America? We are the Israelites. So we have a booth set up called Egyptian Treasures. All right, come and check the brothers out at Cornell Center Mall. Again, between the Boba Tea Factory and the H&M Clothing Store, at the up escalator. All right, you find the up escalator opposite the food court. The one on the other end by the H&M Shoe Factory. Downstairs with the guests and
the fans and the lids.
The fans and the lids
and the Shoe Palace.
And the Shoe Palace. The up escalator. We're right there. We're the same kiosk. Come check us out. All right. In San Antonio, we're at Inglewood Park Mall by Aldo Shoe Company. Come see us. in Rung Oaks Mall with by the up the elevator, all right, going to a food court right there in front of Journeys. You can't miss the brothers there. All right, come see them there. And then in Houston, we're at First Colony Mall in Sugar Land. Right? First Colony Mall in Sugar Land over by, I believe it's Victoria's Secret, right? The American Eastern Oils. Come see us there. And then you have, again, we're spreading out, trying to grow. We're also at the Barton Creek Mall in Austin, Texas. We're at the Barton Creek Mall in Austin, Texas by Journeys. If you'd like to leave any type of financial donation or would like to help support this work, as well as purchase some of your latest oils, body fragrances, home aromatherapy products, please come check us out. All right, please come check us out. That part of the proceeds from every sale goes to help support these ministries, goes to help support these schools, goes to help support the literature program and everything we have going on. And with that being said, in recent news, I would like to thank the brothers who came down from Houston, Texas, and we congregated with the brothers there in San Antonio, and we all went to the Martin Luther King Day parade march. Right, it marked the 50th anniversary of the march, and we thought it was going to be a lot bigger turnout because for whatever reason, San Antonio, Texas has the largest MLK Day parade observance in the whole country. Right, it's the largest one. Go figure. You would think it would be Atlanta when we was there in Atlanta. You would think it would be Montgomery, Alabama, Mobile, Alabama. You think
a lot of our people congregate.
Right. You think Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Or someplace like that. Or D.C. even. All right. They call it Chocolate City. Mm-hmm. But no. The largest Martin Luther King Day parade observance happens to be in San Antonio, Texas. So we had brothers come down from Houston. They met with the brothers there in San Antonio. And we went past our literature, and there had to be well over 5,000 pieces of literature handed out. Right? It was truly amazing. It was good to see. We had our families out there. A lot of sisters came out. A lot of the children came out, and we were just out there just winning people. All right, we was out there just winning people. It wasn't about getting into confrontations as much as we wanted to invite people to our schools to come check out the Bible. We wanted to invite people. The scripture says that we kept quoting when we were out there was that winning souls is wise. We want to be able to win our people. All right? And shout out to all the kids that came out and helped. Israel's got a lot of children. All right? And them children was passing out literature like they were receiving candy. All right? It was really spectacular to see. It was a great sight to see. And I think we really did leave a good impression on the city of San Antonio. And we want to do more events like that in Houston. If we get on the horn here. Shake the Tree, or however they say here in Albuquerque, and whatever events are going on, whether it's the powwows or whatever, we want to go ahead and get the Israelite presence back in these places where we can go and win people. All right? And again, we want to take our families out to the MLK March because we want to show that we're a nation. All right? We want to show that it's a nation of people getting together, women, children, brothers, sisters, that we're all coming together to in support of one another. All coming together and showing that this is for us. It's not a religion. It's not a political belief, but we're a culture, right? That we really are a nation of people that have to gather ourselves together. And that's what we had in mind as we went. It wasn't to actually support Martin Luther King, right? It was not for that sake. As much as, well, as we read when we was out there, Proverbs 1 and 20. Can somebody read that for me real quick? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20.
Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20.
Let's read that.
And it says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street.
I told you that. Wisdom uttereth her voice in the streets. And if you're ear hustling, as we're starting the show this morning, I was saying that it's time for us. We've been in for a year. We have the classes set up. But we need to get into some more public venues. All right, we need to get some more public meetings. If it's on Sundays, going out for an hour or two, and just finding some place where we can go pass out literature, and be able to laugh to people, talk to people, and share the scriptures with them. All right, that wisdom under her voice in the streets. That we need to start hitting these streets more. All right, but right now if it's just on Sundays, if we can accommodate that, that's what needs to be done. All right, again, if for just an hour or two, we can go out and now start talking to people, rapping to people, to get them just not to challenge, not to beat down. Not to
get caught up in a debate.
Yeah, get caught up into a debate as much as now. It really is time for us to get out and be seen in this light here in Albuquerque. All right? It says that wisdom cries aloud where?
Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets.
She uttered her voice in the streets. And that was time for. All right, read on.
She cried in the chief place of concourse.
She cried in the chief place of concourse. And we was reflecting on this scripture here as we went out to the MLK. Where else are you going to find that amount of Israelite people, that amount of our nation, that amount of us gathered together at one time? All right? That's why we saw it as optimum, all right, advantageous to go out there. That where else were you going to be able to have so many of our people? Not just Judites. You'd be amazed at how many observers of the MLK, how many of the tribes are out there. Issachar, the so-called Mexicans, Gadites, so-called Native Americans. You have a lot of people there gathered together. So we wanted to take advantage of that. You know, Christ said, be harmless as serpents, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We want to take advantage of that opportunity. But instead of coming in real militant, a real militant, that's the way I want to use, type of spirit. It's already a peaceful gathering. All right, and so everybody's there to gather about peace. All right, cool. So let's take advantage of it. Let's observe the time. Paul said he became all things to all men. How can we use this to our advantage and win more people? At least get them out coming and checking us out. At least not coming and listening to the blog talk. At least not turning on YouTube to listen to what's going on. So this is what we had. This is what we had decided, and this was the way we went out there. And we had a very good reception. We had an outstanding reception. Couldn't ask for anything better. Truly, cannot ask for anything better. Okay. So with that, as we get into our normal routine and flow of things, this is gonna be just a slight adjustment. The first part of the show, I didn't want, and the brother Salman's here, who's gonna be taking off. You gonna open the mall still?
Yes, sir.
We'll be taking off. But I got the brother, Officer Gabar, and Officer Iman, Officer Yeshaya. I'm going to go into the Bible basics that we call salvation. Right? The Bible basic topic of salvation. So I'm going to have these brothers go ahead and open us up, and we're going to get into this. All right? We're going to get into this. If you have any questions at all about a scripture, a topic, anything, please hit me up at area 210-784-8463. If you have any question comment about anything that's going on, please hit me up at area code 210-784-8463. All right. If you call me, I'm most likely, if you're not already in my contacts, I'm not gonna pick up. All right. I owe many bills. There's been a petty loan or two that has not been paid back yet. Wink, wink. Yeah, so I don't pick up every phone call, all right? But if you text, you'll definitely get a reply ASAP as soon as possible. I do answer all texts, all right? But if you call and you're not already in my list of contacts, it's not going to happen. Right? I'm not going to pick up. You'll just be practicing how to dial 210-784-8463, all right? It's some good practice. All right, about how to hear the number you've reached, 210-784-8463. It's not set up his phone box yet. All right, so it'll just be practice. So with that, I'm gonna let the brothers take over. I don't know if you want to open.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again. The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
Okay, let's let go of that. Nehemiah 8 and let's go to Isaiah 8.
I need somebody to call me to see if they can hear.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, hello, hello? Hello? All right, cool. I guess we have to use the phone then. All right, what's the last subscription we're in? All right. Hey, everybody, I'm sorry. I think my computer is damaged to where the microphone on the computer is no longer working. No, I really believe that's what's going on. So we've been trying to fiddle around, trying to reconnect the show and get it running. The show has been going, but like I said, I believe the microphone on the computer has gone out, and I'm going to that's gonna be something they're going to deal with. I got to figure out how to get around that. So in the meantime, now what we're doing right now is the brothers are going over the topic of salvation. Right. The brothers right now are going over the topic of salvation. I might then back up four scriptures and continue with this class. Right. Again, as we come from the Martin Luther King Day Parade March, that was held in San Antonio, Texas, we passed out a good, I would say no less than 1,000 pieces of literature. Right. There was no less than 1,000 pieces of literature with the blog cell phone numbers. There was 646-668-2568, blog talk number. All the conversation that was had about getting people to try and want to tune into the show, as well as our YouTube channel, ISBHBK, on YouTube to listen to the classes, to get some understanding. So with that being said, we're going over the topic today of what is salvation, all right? What is salvation? What does it mean to be saved? But as we go through it, as we start just about every one of our classes, we want to get some understanding and lay down some ground rules or some a foundation that what we want to make sure we're doing. And going by the Bible, we'll make sure we're going by God's word. All right? As we get an understanding, as we get anything, we want to make sure that we're going by the word of God and not by anything else. Right? Somebody, real quick, give me Romans chapter 3, verse 3. Real quick, I need somebody to give me Romans chapter 3, verse 3.
And it says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?"
All right, can we read that one more time? A little bit louder, a little bit slower, a little bit clearer. I need some enunciation right now.
Romans chapter 3 and verse 3. "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?"
And we'd like to read this scripture here. That maybe there's some people who don't believe what God's understanding about salvation is. Right? Because of whatever they've been taught, whatever they've gone through, whatever, they really believe that salvation is for cats, dogs, goldfish, for just anybody who's got red blood. They might believe that. Right? They might believe that, or some people might not even believe in salvation at all, that the Bible's a joke, the Bible's a fairy tale, that it's a bunch of just made-up stories that I guess the people who invented Hallmark greeting cards are the same ones who invented the Bible. And it's just a good little antidote and get a little meme makers or what have you. What if some did not believe? Is the fact that they don't believe the Bible going to make the faith of God without effect? Is the fact that they don't believe what the Bible says, is that going to make the Bible now of insignificant? God forbid. Read.
God forbid. Yes. Let God be true.
Let God be true. Go ahead.
Like every man of life.
And here at ISBHPK and many Hebrew Israelite schools around the country, around the world, that we are true believers in that let God be true and every man be a liar. That this is, and it says every man, that's including each and every one of us. All right? That I should be considered a liar. Let me go and throw that out there right now. All right? Let every man be considered a liar. From Barack Obama to Jesse Jackson to Martin Luther King to Malcolm X, Louis Farrakhan to Haile Selassie to Bob Marley to Juicy J, Little Red, Little Flip, Punk, Lampshade. I don't know all the names and shit out here. It says, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. And that's one thing we want to stick to, because we here at the ISBHPK, we are true believers in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible, right? And believing in Jesus Christ, what the Bible says, not the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus that has been depicted for just about 400 years. No, what was it? 600 years. From the 1400s, when Leonardo da Vinci first painted that line, to now, we don't believe in that white image of Jesus. That is not what we're pushing or promoting, or we've been deceived by. Right? But I talk about the supposed name of the first slave ship that came to the Americas called Jesus, and that that's what is going to bring salvation. No, we're not going by that either. We're going by the Holy Bible. Right? The Holy Bible, the King James Bible. That's what we're going by. So when it says, let God be true, but every man a liar, we're going by what the Bible says. Too many men have set up a lot of things that have been absolutely wrong. Too many men have got things going on that has been complete BS. So we here have dedicated our lives to make sure that the things in the Bible are correct, and that the things that the Bible instructs us and tells us to do really do work, and that it applies to the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and the so-called Mexicans. Those people that have been scattered throughout North, Central, and South America, they happen to be of so-called Native or Black descent, that you really are the descendants, the ancestors of the 12 lost tribes of the nation of Israel. History proves that. Archaeology proves that. And the Bible proves these facts also. So we want to make sure that in dealing with our salvation, we're not following some man-made religion. We're not following some man-made ideas. We're not following some man-made dream. We want God to be true, and every man to be, and every man is a liar. Right? Every man is a liar. But the word of God is not. And what we're going to find out as we're going through some of these scriptures, as the brothers is about to take us through these scriptures, that we might come back and see that our concept of salvation really has not been derived from what the Bible says about salvation. Our concept of being saved, for many of our people are in a church, and they make the claim they're already saved. And that is that statement or that belief, is that really in league or in line with what the Bible talks about when the Bible talks about salvation? Is the concept of I'm in church already and I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Is that belief, does that really coincide with what the Bible says? That belief that was derived from whatever religion, whatever doctrine, whatever philosophy, is that really in league and in line and agreeable to what the Bible says? And that's what we want to make sure we're doing. We're not here making the sacrifices that we're making because we're on a wild goose chase. We're not here in an occult atmosphere because we're unintelligent, we're illiterate, and we're easy to let our minds be led astray. That is not why we're here. From many of us having, if we want to go there, having college degrees, many of us having, it's just good street knowledge, that we're not dummies, all right? That we're not doing this because we're some disgruntled, unemployed, out of work, mad and angry at the world, black men. And so we came together, and now we're just finding a new way to protest. That now it's the new Black Panther Party. That now it's the new Nation of Islam. And because we hate authority, we just came up and set up our own institution. That is not what we're doing, and that's not why we're here. We want to make sure that we're going by the Bible. So from whatever scripture y'all were at, I want you to back up 4 scriptures and start from there. And we have to speak through this.
Okay, that would be Proverbs 4 and 7.
Fine, cool.
We'll start back there. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, I'll read that. And it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding.
So by reading this, the understanding that we get is wisdom is the first thing that we should be seeking. Where are we going to get this wisdom? We're going to get this wisdom by reading the precepts basically every scripture in the Bible is wisdom. So it says wisdom is the principal theme. Therefore, get wisdom. Where we're getting the wisdom from is from the precepts of the scriptures.
And with all that getting, get understanding.
Right. So we read to get the understanding. The understanding
let me crack that real quick. Every scripture in the Bible is wisdom. But as you, so what God is saying here is the principal thing. That means the most important thing. The priority is wisdom. This is what you're trying to get. Every scripture in the Bible is wisdom. But always make sure you get understanding. When it says that, with all thy getting, get understanding. What good is the wisdom if you don't understand what it is that you're reading? So make sure you understand so that you can convey the message as well, so that you can pass it on. But if you don't understand, how are you going to get somebody else to understand? So we make sure we understand also what we're reading.
Because a lot of people, we see, coming from a church background, which many of us do come from, that you might have one scripture, and I think you got understanding, or because you might have one scripture, Jesus wept. You might have one scripture, the two should become one flesh. Now, if all you have is that one scripture, then a person might be led to believe that Adam and Eve morphed into one body. That it was I don't even know how to properly put this together. That if all I have is one scripture, when it talks about, because a lot of people mix the Trinity doctrine. A lot of people say that the Trinity, yeah, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because they're all one. And you have that, and now you believe that is God the Spirit, God the Son, God the Father, and that God himself actually came down and got on the cross. You might believe that. But now, if you put together the scripture in Genesis, where it says Adam and Eve, the two became one flesh, then if I go with just the one understanding of from the New Testament, that all three are one, then am I to believe now from that one scripture about becoming one, and that's why all three, God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that now it's also Adam and Eve actually turned into one flesh. They actually mind-melted, I guess, some Vulcan death trap or thought trap or whatever, that they actually turned into one person. Now, that seems ridiculous. But some people that would say, well, yeah, that must be what happened. Obviously, that's a lie. That is not how it went down. But just because you got a scripture doesn't mean you got understanding. Just because you might be able to pull a scripture doesn't mean that you understand the topic. Doesn't mean that you understand what's going on. So it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And the wisdom of God is the scriptures. And every scripture in the Bible is wisdom. But just because you have a scripture does not mean you have understanding. Too many people will lean on John 3:16. There are too many people at football games, on the back of cars, T-shirts, bumper stickers, they got John 3:16. And they think from just reading that one scripture that God loves the whole entire world. Until you put the other scriptures together, other precepts together, there's no way that you have understanding about John 3:16. So a lot of people carry that same mentality. They get a scripture because they got a scripture. I'm smart. I know what I'm doing. I got a scripture. You have a scripture, but you have no understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. These scriptures are principal. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. You got a scripture. Good, son. Good. Daddy, I drew you a picture. Aw. Cool. Good job, son. Next time, try and keep aside the lines a little bit better. Hold your crayon like this. Good job. Okay, you have a scripture. But just because you have a scripture does that mean that you have understanding? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Cool. You're able to put a scripture out. Great. That does not mean you have understanding. You got to make sure that when you pull the scripture, a scripture, that you have understanding. That you put enough scripture together on this particular topic so that now there's some understanding. It is not because you pulled a scripture that that's why you have understanding. No, you have wisdom. You know how to pull a scripture. But that by no means means that you're not qualified, that you have understanding. You pulled a scripture. Great. Good job. Coach, coach, coo. But just because you pulled a scripture, where's the understanding? Where's the understanding? The understanding is not because you pulled the scripture. So, again, can we read it one more time?
Yes, sir. Proverbs 4 and 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom.
Therefore, get wisdom. Cool. You can pull scriptures. That's a baby supposed to be able to say it's ABCs and 1, 2, 3. In preschool, what's first? Preschool or nursery school?
Nursery school.
In nursery school, you learn the chants from Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to the alphabet song. It's the same music, but one gives you the Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and the other gives you A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's the same chant, different lyrics. Because they're trying to get instilled in you the alphabet song. And you might be able to learn the American alphabet, which is a good thing. All right? You're in nursery school. So you go from nursery school to preschool. By the time you get to preschool, you can say your ABCs. By the time you get to preschool, you can recognize the letter A, B, C. Good job! You can now recognize your letters. You get to first grade, uh-oh. Now it's not just about because you know the song, the alphabet song. Now it's not because you can recognize letters. Oh, snap. Now there's capital letters, and what was it? It's capital and what? What's the other word? And lowercase. Oh, snap. And remember the big industry paper? I don't know what to call it now, right? The big industry paper, you had that big giant-ass notebook where the lines were down there 3 inches apart to where you had to learn how to do a capital A and a lowercase a. And remember it had the little arrows? If you had to do the circle up and come down to the little tail, that's A. And then you had to be able to differentiate between lowercase p, lowercase q. You had to be able to tell the difference between lowercase I, lowercase j. You had to go through all that. It wasn't just because you knew the alphabet song. It wasn't just because you could recognize capital letter A. You know how to write these different letters. That's first grade. Then lo and behold, by the time you get to third grade, what happened? Now it's cursive. And now is the cursive in the first grade. Now you gotta understand it now. You gotta put this letter with these other letters. Oh my God, now you gotta read. C A T. What does that spell? What sound does little lowercase c make? What sound does A make? Ah. What sound does T make? Put it together. Cat. Then you had to put, now you had to put these letters together to form pictures in your mind. And that was based on because you knew the alphabet song. You learned the alphabet song. Good. You're supposed to. You learned where scriptures are at. Good. You're supposed to. But that don't mean you got understanding. The Bible just told us, and I don't know if those we were online, but brothers are about to go over it again. We have to desire the sincere milk of the word like a newborn babe. The problem is you have too many people that don't understand that they're babes when it comes to this. They don't understand that, that they're just learning something new. And that just because now you learn the alphabet song, you have not learned how to read yet. To understand how these letters are put together. And good Lord Almighty, by the time you get to, the, what is this, eighth grade? Geometry? Now, letters don't mean letters. Now, all of a sudden, letters are numbers? Now, A squared plus B squared equals C squared? What the hell? Back in nursery school, it was A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Now I know my ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me? Cool. You know the alphabet song. But by the time you get to sixth grade, eighth grade, letters are numbers. Then you get into algebra. Then lower calculus. Physics, trigonometry. There's a whole, this rabbit hole goes deep. But you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. You learn the books of the Bible. And then you learn in the book that, that this scripture is in this book of the Bible. Good job. But it don't stop there. There. You're just getting started. So wisdom is the principal thing. And each scripture in the Bible is wisdom. With all the scriptures you get, where's the understanding? You know, right now my son, one of my sons, well, two of my sons, they read fast as hell. They read fast. But the problem now is, it's not about you just reading fast. Where's your comprehension? Just because you can read fast, what is it saying? You read it fast. Good job. You don't sound like you're in last year's grade. You're not reading the letters, the words all choppy. But you're also not picking up on what it's saying. You're not letting a picture be developed in your mind. But you can read it fast as the roadrunner running away from the coyote. But are you understanding what it's saying? So a lot of people have scriptures, but they have no understanding about what it's saying. It's important now as we get scriptures, are we getting the understanding of what it's saying? All right, where we at now? Where we going now?
Psalms 119 and 104.
Y'all guys, go ahead.
I'll read it. Psalms chapter, you want to read it? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Psalms 119 and 104. Psalms 119 and 104, and it says, through thy precepts, I get understanding.
So through the precepts, the scriptures, the instructions out of the Bible, that's where we get our understanding from, not man's opinion, not from anywhere else, but from the Bible, from the words of the Most High. Okay? So we get understanding by going through the precepts. And notice that word precept has an S at the end, implying that that's plural. So you're not going to get the understanding, God's understanding from one scripture like the priest brought out earlier. You're not going to get the understanding by just pulling one scripture. You think you know all kinds of stuff because you know one scripture. So we go from scripture to scripture. We jump around a lot in this book to get the true, God's true understanding. Go ahead.
Therefore, I hate every false way.
Yeah, because the only true way to go about what we're talking about, salvation here particularly, what we're going to go into, but any topic of the Bible, the way God feels, his perspective and the way he feels about anything, the only way we're going to get his true understanding is we stick to the scriptures. We stick to the instruction. We stick to his way, his doctrine, which is in the... So that we'll let that go. We can move on to the next scripture, and I'll grab the next one if you want. If you wanted to add something, I'm sorry.
No. I'm going to... The next scripture is Isaiah 28:9.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to read it.
Okay. You got it.
All right.
I'm going to break that one down as well. No problem. Isaiah 28:9 we're going to next. And basically what we're doing, for anybody that might be just joining us, is we're stressing the importance of putting the scriptures together to paint the true picture in people's mind of God's will and his perspective and what he wants. The most important thing in doing so, in doing that, and giving people God's true understanding according to the Bible, is we stick to the scriptures. We don't do a lot of lollygagging, a lot of talking, and a lot of adding in our own little perspectives and getting caught up in our own opinions or our own ways of thinking or my perspective or the Bar's perspective or Mashaba's perspective or Yeshaya's perspective or anybody else's perspective, Tom, Dick, and Harry's, their perspective. We're trying to get the perspective of God. We're trying to paint the true picture of what God's will is and the way he does things and how he wants things done. His instructions. The only way to do that is by sticking to the scriptures. This is something a lot of y'all may not be used to or familiar with, but that's the way it's done according to the Bible. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stick to the Bible. So we'll read the next verse.
The next verse is, whom shall he teach knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?
So there's two questions being asked here. Who is God going to share this knowledge with? Who's he going to bestow his true knowledge upon? Who's going to get this? And it says, whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Who's he gonna reveal the true way that he does things to? Who's he gonna reveal his methods to? Who's he gonna show this to? Who's he gonna give this to? Who's he gonna bless with his true knowledge? Who's gonna really know how to break these scriptures down? Who's God gonna give that to? And bless with this. So let's find out. Go ahead.
Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast.
So those that know that get in this book and they see, they understand how to put these scriptures together. Right. They understand. They do enough studying so they can graduate to the next level. Meaning, you understand. You know and understand now that you got to put scripture upon scripture. You got to put these things together. You got to paint a picture, and it's not going to be done with just one scripture. That has to be understood, because that's a common thing now. You pull one scripture and you talk about it for 2 hours
in church. And that's really not the way it's done according to the Bible. We have to understand that it requires jumping around. And some people get thrown off by that when they first see that concept. But that's a necessary requirement. We'll read down and we're going to find out that that is a necessary requirement according to God.
Right. So the first two questions, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand the doctrine,
mm-hmm.
are those where it's that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast.
Mm-hmm.
To basically what that's saying is God is going to give the understanding, the answer to those questions, is that God is going to give his understanding to those that follow his precepts or his scriptures. That's what the topic is. Those that follow the scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Them that are weaned from the milk. The milk is the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So those that follow the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
or follow his precepts and draw from the breast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So basically, that's it. Really, that's who he's going to give this knowledge, give the ability to understand his precepts and his scriptures. You wanted to go down to 10 also?
Yes.
Okay. Isaiah 28 and 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept.
Notice how it repeats there. This is one of God's requirements. This is a concept that is required by anybody that is truly teaching the word of God. Somebody that is truly trying to represent God, he tells you how to do it. He tells you how to represent him. He tells you how to break his word down. You don't just pull one or two scriptures or maybe three in a three-hour period and just ramble on about one or two scriptures in that amount of time. That amount of time, man, we've covered, you know, at least 20 scriptures. We stick to the Bible. We stick to. We don't ramble on forever about one or two scriptures. We stick to the Bible, and in that period of time, we pull 20, maybe 30 scriptures. Okay, it says precept must be upon precept. A precept is a commandment or instruction, God's instructions. A precept out of the Bible is an instruction or a commandment from God. It's an instruction. It's something that tells you this is how it's done. And we go, and we don't just go to one scripture. We go, once again, precept upon precept.
Line upon line.
So, again, precept upon precept is repeated. Go ahead.
Line upon line.
Mm-hmm.
Line upon line.
Again, that's repeated. Scripture upon scripture. Scripture upon scripture. When you want somebody to truly understand how something is done, sometimes you got to repeat it. You know, particularly our people, you know, are hard-headed for the most part, and the things have to be repeated to us. So, but God truly wants us to understand this. So in this scripture, you're seeing it being repeated because that point needs to be hammered in, because it's important that you do it this way, that you use this concept. Yes, we are going to jump around in the Bible, because that's what the Bible says to do. If you're going to get the true understanding of how to read the Bible and how to put scriptures together, yes, you have to jump around. Yes, it's like pieces of a puzzle that you have to gather and put together to paint the right picture, but you stick to the scriptures. So go ahead.
Right. We're in Isaiah 28 and verse 10. It says, for precept must be upon precept.
Mm-hmm.
Precept upon precept,
right?
Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little.
Here a little and there a little. We'll pull a scripture in Genesis that might go with a scripture in Matthew. We'll pull a scripture in John that might go with a scripture in Isaiah. We'll pull a scripture in Revelation that might go with a scripture in Luke. That's how it's done. That's the concept that the Most High is telling us. This is what you do. This is how you do it. He tells us how to do it. But let's move on. We don't want to ponder too much on one scripture, but that hopefully that gets that people understand that. This is why we do it that way. Because the Bible says to do it that way. But did you want to, yeah, did you?
I got the reading. I got the reading for you. The next scripture is actually 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2.
You got it. 1 Peter 2 and 2 is where we're going next. And this is going to connect with the scripture that, with the first verse of scripture we just read.
Right.
In Isaiah 28 and verse 9.
Right.
Oh, so go ahead.
And it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word.
So as, meaning just like an infant would, an infant only desires milk. Like the priest was bringing out earlier, the infant only desires milk. The infant it can't handle honey, can't handle Hawaiian punch, can't handle really water until a certain stage, because they'll choke on it. They can't handle anything. The only thing that provides the right consistency for an infant to handle at that infant stage, at that newborn stage, because it says it's newborn babes, right, is milk, is the breast milk. Not even really formula yet, but the breast milk. So as that's the only thing a newborn desires. So it's an analogy being brought out here. Newborn babes desire the sincere milk
of the word.
Of the word. Right. So the scriptures is that milk that is talking about what we read about in Isaiah. Wean from the milk and draw from the breast. That milk is the scriptures. That milk is the word. The words of the Most High. This is what the Most High is trying to nurture us with. Those that want it, those that desire it, you got to go to it's the scriptures. The key, the answer, the understanding is, and the key is in the scriptures. So we stick to that. And that's how we grow towards God in a relationship with God.
Right. So as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
So this is an instruction. God is telling us what to set our hearts and our minds to. What to desire is the sincere milk, which is the scriptures. Feed yourself, feed your spirit with these scriptures.
Right.
As a newborn babe is going to grow by that milk. This is how we grow, is by the scriptures. Is by God, the words of the Most High. Is by God's word.
So you're saying that if we want to grow closer, if we want our relationship with the Most High to grow, we need the what? We need
the scriptures.
We need the scriptures. We need the desire. We need the desire.
Mm-hmm. To want it.
The basics.
Exactly.
The basics. As newborn babes, we want to desire the precepts.
Mm-hmm.
The precepts of the scriptures of the Bible.
Right.
That's the understanding on it.
So the analogy is the newborn babe only desires milk.
Right.
Coming in as truth, you should only be desiring the scriptures, not wanting to waste your time a lot of other doctrines and reading novels and stuff and mixing all that up, but stick to the scriptures. You really want God's, you really want to grow towards God and build a relationship with God. The only way to do that is to seek out of the book of the Lord and read, seek his word, seek out of the scriptures. That's where the understanding is. That's where the true knowledge of God is at. That's where the growth takes place, is in the scriptures. That milk is the scriptures. So,
you want to let go down?
Yeah, move on.
The next one, I believe it's Nehemiah.
Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. Nehemiah 8 and 8.
Right. Nehemiah 8 and 8. And it says, So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. We are in
Nehemiah
chapter 8 and verse 8. And it says, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly.
So in the book, in the law of God, what is that? That's talking about what? The scriptures.
Right.
Once again, we're hammering that point in, because a lot of our people today do not understand that concept. This is something that's important that we have to get and we have to understand, is you got to stick to them scriptures. You can't keep listening to people's opinions. You can't keep listening to people without being able to find out for yourself, is this true? Or am I just blindly following? Am I just, like the scriptures say, being tossed to and fro like the by every wind of doctrine? How you know it's scripture-based if you ain't in the scriptures, if you're not reading the book? How do you know it's the truth? We go in the book and we find out.
But and I like what you're saying, especially with the definition of distinctly, meaning clearly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not reading it clearly,
right,
how can you get the understanding? You know?
Right.
So it says, God, so they read in the book of, in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading.
Sense, when you make sense out of it, you brought light to whatever you were reading, because not any beginner can just go into this book and understand everything they read right away. So, one of the keys to unlocking the mysteries and understanding what these scriptures say, what the Most High is trying to show us, is we read these scriptures clearly, making sure we make sense out of it. We read it and break it down clearly to make sure it makes sense. And it caused them to understand the reading. So if you don't understand it, what are you walking away with? Nothing. Because without the understanding, what do you have? You can't pass this on if you yourself don't understand it. If you yourself don't understand it, how is it going to benefit you? If you yourself don't understand the words of God and his will and how to please him and how to serve him, what he likes and what he doesn't like, how are you going to build a relationship with God with no understanding? That's a necessary thing. You read that earlier in Proverbs 4 and 7. Make sure you get the understanding.
How can your relationship that doesn't make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I
want to
say on that.
That's it.
Distinct meaning exactly. All right, we're gonna read exactly what it says.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we're gonna make sense of understanding what God's talking about. All right, we played that game as kids. I'm using another kid reference. What's that game? Telephone.
I remember when I was a kid, the teacher would bring up one of the students and tell a secret in the ear. It could be the dog was running in the park.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what the game consisted of is the first student that heard the dog was running in the park, he or she would then tell the next student, and then it was about 28 of us in the class, and so we would all get to hear it. It would be the telephone game. The reason why it was called the telephone game is because it had to travel a distance, you know, on a line, and the children in the class, the students in the class, were the line. And by the time it got to the 28th student, the teacher would ask, what was it that was passed through the line? And almost every single time that I played it, it never was what was said at first. It never was exactly. It was something off. It could have been the cat at the end was playing, or the moose was playing.
Right.
It never was exactly what it was initially was said.
Right. Yeah, the initial original message, by the time it went through everybody, is if the original sentence was the dog jumped over the fox. By the time it got done, it was the dog ran through the field, chased a cat up a tree, saw a mouse, scared a monkey, and wound up killing the blue fox. And then you ask, that's not what I said. Yes, it is. That is anger. That is what you said. No. This is what I said. The dog chased the fox. That's what I said. But now you can, by the time it got passed around, from what came in your ear and I came out your mouth, you had to put your own understanding to it. You had to put your own embellishment on it. You had to put your own little salt to it. From what you the discipline of what you heard and what you said is not the same thing. And you got people that will argue, get mad, ready to debate that I said the exact same thing you said. No, you didn't. You didn't say it distinctly. You didn't go by exactly what was said. Well, we see a lot of religions that, no, they're not reading distinctly of the law of the words of God, of exactly what it's saying. They come and they put their own twist to it. They come and put their own whatever to it. So now by the time something comes out their mouth, it really has nothing to do with what God said. Now, in the meantime, you can read the scriptures, like Jeremiah 14:2. During the morning, the gates of their language, they are blocking to the ground. And we're reading distinctly, it's easy to see that God is describing the color of the Jews in that scripture. But people don't read distinctly. And for the life of them, they cannot see that. For the life of them, they cannot see the word black. For the life of them, it's just not there. I don't see it. Because they've been so mentally conditioned and mentally trained not to read distinctly. They've been mentally trained to just skim over words, but not to read distinctly. Not to get exactly what it's saying. So now their understanding of what God originally said is throwed. Is off. But they're walking around in all their pride, walking around in all their ambition, that they understand God, but they don't read distinctly. They put their own twist to it. They put their own whatever to it. Don't know how many times you could be in church if you're a Baptist. How many times is the word Israelite in the Bible and you don't see it? How many times is the word Israelite, these are my people, these are my chosen, but you don't see it because you don't read distinctly. So there's no way you're going to understand what God is talking about. You let your own understanding, vision, sight, issues, whatever word you want to use, get in the way of getting God's understanding. You really walk on what you believe, with what you see. But you do not read distinctly. You do not read exactly what it says. So your understanding, your vision, your perception is thrown. It's off. We have to read distinctly. It's the saying that could be applied here is God says what he means, it means what he says. God says what he means, and he means what he says. It's really that simple. Well, because everybody's got, they want to lean to their own understanding. They go by what they see and what they think they heard. How many times, ask yourself this personal question. How many times, just think about how many times you say yourself, well, I thought you said this. I thought you meant this. How many arguments between you and anybody else? There's an argument because you thought you heard this person say that. Well, I thought you were saying. I thought you meant. How many marriages have broken up because of something like that? How many children have not spoken to their parents in years because of something like that? I thought when you said this, you meant this. But that's not what I said. But that's what I heard. But that's not what I said. How many people have been shot behind some shit like that? I thought when you looked at me this way, I thought that you was going, how many niggas have gone, night, night, nigga? How many of them have been knocked off their feet, knocked out by a misunderstanding? What's up? I remember an example that happened. It was funny. I was in New York for a couple of years. And we had, I had to come out with my first teacher, Abanazar. He had some construction jobs lined up. He needed some help with construction. So I came from New York, and we needed to raise some money up to help us get out of New York, get back on the road to go travel. So he had these job steps, so I came out to help him. And, you know, there's not really 7-Elevens in New York. Not on the East Coast, not like in the South and the West Coast. So walking around the streets of New York, you develop this sense of looking at everybody as a threat, looking at everybody as a potential aggressor. You're just on guard about every damn thing. So I get out to Vallejo, California. Very beautiful city. Very laid back. It's not Oakland. It's not San Francisco. It's really laid back. I'm in 7-Eleven getting a Slurpee. It's hard to be a thug and you sip on a Slurpee if you get that mental in your mind. You can't be hard.
Right.
A fucking killer, and you're sucking on a Slurpee. And I hadn't had a Slurpee in years because I've been in New York. So I'm sipping on a Slurpee. And a brother, you know, just chilling, he said, "Man, what's up?" And I'm already on guard. "Man, what's up? So what's up?" I'm ready like he got beef. Like he had a problem. The nigga don't know me. I'm sitting there sipping on a Slurpee. Well, seeing the look on his face, and then the reaction of my nephew, my godson, looking at me in the car, like, "Nick, what's wrong with you?" That brought me back. Oh shit, I'm back in California. The fuck am I doing? When he said "What's up?" he was just asking. It was a greeting. It wasn't a challenge. It wasn't He had been plotting. This is my first day in Vallejo. It's not like he was plotting, like, "When did they get off the plane? I'm going to follow him to 7-Eleven. And then when he's stepping on his foot, that's what I'm going to get him." He didn't know me.
Yeah.
He was just being cordial. "Hey, man, what's up?" But I at first didn't perceive it that way. I wasn't in a good state of mind. Not for what, in the environment I was in. Now, back in New York, or if I was in L.A., South Central, Watts, that might be okay, we got to get at it. We're going to get dirty. But he was just saying it was cordial. It was that was a salutation. It was no different saying hi, hello. Not even as, you know, the head nod that you know, black people have. Or the head tilt. I don't know. Right, the head goes back a little bit.
It's like saying "what's up."
Yeah.
But because you make a signal with your head.
Right, exactly.
So it's like,
the head's going up,
"Hey,
right.
What's up?" You know, just beginning of.
Exactly. Or, you know, as we get a little bit more mature, it might be the head nod now. Your head goes down a little bit, like, just acknowledgement, like,
"Yeah, that's right.
I see you." But if I'm still going with my own understanding, how many times have we gone by our own understanding, what I thought I saw, what I thought I heard, what I thought I felt, what I thought was going on, and you was absolutely wrong? You were absolutely wrong, because you didn't go distinctly by what was being said, or distinctly by what was written, or distinctly by what was happening. This is what we do with God. We don't read His word distinctly. This is what it says, and this is what it means. This is what it says, and this is what it means.
We get
mixed signals. We're not reading distinctly. Because we're not putting those scriptures together to prove the point. we're talking about salvation, then I should be able to go to several scriptures about salvation, and they're all saying the same thing. So I can know I'm on the right track. So I can know that, yes, this is how it's supposed to be done. Not because people just said so. All right. Where we at, brothers? Because this is about to...
We left off at Nehemiah 8 and 8, and the next scripture is Isaiah 8 and 20.
Right.
That's the last scripture.
Well, we're going to do it anyway because it's already 11, so it's going to hit it anyway.
Yep. So Isaiah, well, you hit Isaiah 8 and 20.
Right. Isaiah 8 and 20. Isaiah 8 and 20, and it says, to the law and to the testimony.
So where is the law contained? When we read this scripture, the law are contained in the Old Testament. And it says, unto the testimony, being the testimony of the prophets of the Old Testament, as well as the testimony of Christ. And it's the testimony of the prophets are contained in the Old and New Testament, primarily in the New Testament. So we're talking about the Old and the New Testament. The Old and the New Testament read,
to the law and to the testimony, if they not according to this word.
Not according to the words of the Old and New Testament. The Old Testament has been said commonly that it's done away with, but it's not.
And okay. Like I said, it's got to match.
Mm-hmm.
If I read something in the New Testament, but it doesn't match what was written in the Old Testament, then guess what? My understanding's off. To the law and to the testimony. Where we find the law at? The Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Whose testimonies do we get? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, Timothy, Titus. We get their testimonies. That's found in the New Testament. So if I read something in the New Testament that doesn't match the Old Testament, something's off. If I read something in the Old Testament that doesn't match the New Testament, something is off. To the law and to the testimony. Go ahead.
If they speak not according to this word.
If what is being said is not according to this word, according to what the Bible says. Not a cute little chant. Not a cute little meme. Not a cute little rhyme. If it's not going by what the Bible says, that matches the Old Testament and the New Testament. Read.
Because there is no light in them.
They're still in darkness. You might still be in darkness. If you find yourself quoting Tupac Moore, or Little Red, Trippy Red, I don't know these fucking names. Young Jock, I guess.
It's a Young Jock or it is.
Is it?
Young Jeezy.
Okay, Young Jeezy. I'm like Isaiah, like, help me, Isaiah.
Whoever you might be idolizing or following.
Yeah, whoever. Chocolate Drop. I guess from Kevin Hart. I guess I don't know the names. All these fucked up names right now. I don't know. Okay, Lil Uzi, Lil Punk. Well, how you gonna let Lil? Never mind. There's another in mind who has rainbow hair and a rainbow grill. No, that's Punk. That's Lil Punk. Gucci Gang. I forget who showed me that. They showed a video, my nephew Elijah, was showing me that they took the video, Gucci Mane, the game or whatever it is, and they deleted it every time it repeats itself. The video was originally like 3 minutes and 40 seconds. When they took all the stuff to repeat itself, it just got straight lyrics that was just lyric, it was 40 seconds. It was 40 seconds. Anyway, if you find yourself quoting that
yeah,
I can't use that word.
Gibberish.
If that's what you're quoting,
yeah,
and the basis of your belief is the basis of what you hold on to, and it's no different. I'm mocking that, but it's no different than listen to a Kirk Franklin. Listen to give me some gospel singers, Andre Crouch.
The whining,
CC and BB or whatever. It's no different. They're singing all these songs with still no understanding. But if you are quoting those things more, or those people more than you quote the Bible, something's wrong. If your understanding of God comes through a song, whether it's an old gospel hymn or a rap, hip hop, if that's what you're basing your knowledge of off of, you're still wrong. If you base your knowledge of salvation based on you want to get together the Quran, the Bible, and the American Constitution, your understanding from God, of what God's talking about is going to be throwed. It's still going to be wrong. If you're trying to mix in your understanding of justice based on the equality of what America talks about, based on just your own personal experiences, it's not going to match what God's talking about. Your understanding is going to be thrown. When it comes to what God's talking about, when God is talking about salvation, when God's talking about anything, if it's not based distinctly on what the scriptures say, and it matches the Old Testament with the New Testament, your understanding is going to be thrown. That last scripture you want to get as time is running on us, give me a 2 Timothy 3:16.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16.
No, start at 15.
2 Timothy 3 and 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture.
So here the New Testament says that as a child, from the time you're a child, you're supposed to know what?
The Holy Scripture.
No, Santa Claus has got reindeer.
The Holy Scripture.
There's a rabbit that lays eggs.
The Holy Scripture.
There's an angel that flies around on February 14th shooting people and having them fall in love.
The Holy Scripture. None of those are in the Scripture.
Right. The Quran.
Yeah. The Scripture.
The Constitution.
The Holy Scripture.
That from a child. Transformers.
The Holy Scripture.
The pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It says from a child, we're supposed to know what?
The Holy Scripture.
We're supposed to be knowing these Holy Scriptures. From a child, we're supposed to know the Holy Scriptures. Read.
Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation.
The Scriptures are able to do what?
Make thee wise unto salvation.
The Scriptures are going to give you the wisdom about how to be saved. The Scriptures are going to give you the wisdom about salvation. Now, the question you got to ask yourself, that you should be asking yourself is this. When Paul wrote this to Timothy, what were the only scriptures that were around?
The Old Testament scriptures. The New Testament hadn't been comprised yet.
I know y'all know.
Paul's retort.
I know the men in this room know the answer. We've been over it many times. This is for Radio Land.
Sometimes we don't... We missed the rhetorical part, and we answer the question that ain't supposed to be answered. Excuse me, folks.
It's all good. Like the brother brought out, like you said.
Listeners.
The only scriptures that were around, there was no New Testament when Paul wrote this to Timothy. The only scriptures that were available was what we know as the Old Testament. That the Old Testament will give you the idea of salvation. The only way you're going to get the wisdom about what God's talking about with salvation, you got to study how did God save and what did God save in the Old Testament. You have to match it so that you might understand what salvation these days, salvation now, is talking about. Whenever you look at salvation in the Old Testament, it was always the salvation of the nation of Israel. It was not the saving of one person. It was for the salvation of the entire nation. And it was the entire nation being saved from their enemies. It was the entire nation being saved from people who enslaved them. That's what you read about the history of the whole Old Testament, that God saved his people from their enemies. If it was the Egyptians at one time, if it was the Amorites at another time, the Philistines several times, the Zidonians another time, hell, the Persians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Medes, the Greeks, or the Romans. It was always referring to the nation of Israel being saved from their captors, the nation of Israel being saved from their enemies. Always the case. So we would have to go to the scriptures and study and read them distinctly if we want to get an understanding about salvation today. What is God's concept, idea, perception, understanding of salvation today? All right. With that, I do want to thank the brother Sarah for holding it down. Did a decent job. Just got to get some more practice. Got to get some more oil on the wheels for it to turn a little bit more smoother. Did a great job. With that, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Tonight, please, we implore you, tune in to the YouTube channel, ISBHPK. All right, tune into the YouTube channel, ISBHPK. Starting from California, that show starts at 5 p.m., all right, on YouTube, live at 5 p.m. If you're in New Mexico, that show will start at 6 p.m. If you're in Texas, it starts at 7. And if you have to be in Atlanta or New York, it'll be 8 p.m., all right, but depending on where you might be at in the country, whatever time zone you're in. We please invite you to tune in, log on, and catch your brothers live on YouTube. If you happen to be in the San Antonio area, there is class tonight, and tonight is Wednesday. The brother Guy is dropping them excellent history classes, all right, where he goes through the Bible, but he also matches it with the history of the Josephus. Phenomenal classes. You'll be doing yourself a favor to go and check out his class at the Sport of Truth, located at 4219 Centergate Drive there in San Antonio, Texas. Now, 78217 is the zip code. And that class starts tonight at 7. All right, that class starts tonight at 7. You want to check them out. All right. And then in the Houston area, 8524 South Braidwood Boulevard, at the school there, ISBHPK, go check them out. All right, but you can also check them out on the YouTube channel. If you'd like to help support this work and this ministry that we have going on, we ask you to please visit any one of the malls, starting in Sugar Land out there in Houston at First Colony Mall. Go see American Eastern Oils. You can make a purchase. And realize proceeds from the purchase go to help support this work and this ministry that we have going on. Or if you'd just like to leave a donation, they can accommodate you there at First Colony Mall over by Victoria's Secret, the American Eastern Oils guys. You can't miss them. They have the polo shirts and they have the fringes on the bottom. They have the polo shirts and the fringes on the bottom. You can also visit in San Antonio, the Inga Park Mall or Rolling Oaks Mall. If you're in Austin, the Barton Creek Mall, they can come with you there. If you're in Albuquerque, swing by Coronado Cinema between the Boba Tea Factory and the H&M Clothing Store. We have a kiosk set up there also. All right, so with that, I want to say thank you for tuning in. Please continue to study and read your Bible and show support. Yeah, it really is. You know, my ending scripture I used to end with is Zephaniah 2:1.